Hi, welcome to Musings with Monse, a podcast where I have meaningful conversations with all kinds of artists. Musicians, poets, photographers, and other creatives share their honest stories, touching on the duality of being creative, the pure joy of making art, but also the particular struggles that come with it.
And honey, there's no way that I'll ever know. Oh, everything about you, but oh, how I love what I do. And honey, I love what I don't know too.
In this episode, I'm talking to Sarah Fort, who is the creator of the award-winning food blog Sprouted Kitchen, as well as the author of two cookbooks. I've cooked out of both of them, and there are so many delicious recipes. I first stumbled onto her blog some years ago, and before I even tried any of her recipes, I fell in love with her writing and the way she wrote so truthfully about all the life stuff. In this episode, we talk about her love of journal-style writing and how she writes more of the story behind the why of food rather than just about the tomato sauce. She also shares her story of being a self-employed creative, what it's like being a spouse, co-parent, and creative partners with her husband, and why Trader Joe's is so awesome. I really loved her response to my how do you move through a bad day question, where she talks about pivoting toward an action step to move out of it. She also speaks on why cook, stylist, and photographer Aran Goyoaga's creativity is so inspiring to her, on what she likes in her salads, and some of her favorite people and things. I really loved getting to know Sarah a bit through this episode, and I think you will too. Enjoy!
It's what I don't know to, yeah.
This is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. It's Monse. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Well, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast, so thanks again for taking the time to do this.
Sure. Thanks for asking me.
Yeah, totally. So I like to start the interviews talking about who you are. So, you know, professionally, you are a cook and a food writer, amongst other things. And if you could maybe talk a little bit about, besides all that, like, you know, what makes you you? Like, what's unique about you?
I'm a mom to two kids. I have a 4.5-year-old son and a 3-year-old little girl named Cleo. I am a food writer, and that looks like a lot of different things. I try to keep up with my blog, Sprouted Kitchen, and then we have recently, this past year, started a recipe subscription service for meal planning. So every Friday, the members get 4 recipes and a grocery list that helps them make healthy, family-friendly sort of recipes for the week. So that's probably a large part of my time. And then also I am a personal chef for 2 different families. So I have all those things.
Yeah, it's a lot. One thing I wanted to note was that, you know, I first discovered you years ago through your blog, and I don't remember how I stumbled across it, but when I did, before I even made a single recipe off of your site or your cookbook, what really pulled me in was your writing. I think you're a beautiful writer. And I wondered if that was ever part of your roadmap. Like, did you, has writing been something that's, you know, sort of a pastime, something you've been called to do as well in addition to the cooking?
I think as part of the roadmap, it was like the beginning of the road. I went to school, ideally to study journalism, and then I ended up studying English instead just because it was a little bit easier to get into, honestly. But I have found that, like, I love journal style writing, or
yes,
like maybe pretend kind of like fiction stories, but not the way that you do in school, like read
right.
a novel and then write an essay about it. Like, I was terrible at that. I have really bad grammar. I have bad retention with books. So, like, I would never like really remember what happened to who. And so I just like didn't, it kind of turned me off of writing only because I felt bad at it, because I wasn't the kind of writer that you're required to be in school studying writing. So I think after school, I like did a handful of different jobs that were like more so hospitality related. And I always have liked writing, but I liked like writing cards to my friends. I liked journaling, things like that. So in writing the blog, I don't think I went into it thinking like, oh, this is just going to be like my place to write. But it felt like I didn't like reading food blogs where all the person talked about was just like go on for four paragraphs talking about like the tomato sauce.
Right, right.
Like I'm just not generally interested in food. I don't need to pick it apart for that long. Like totally. You give me a couple sentences about how it tastes, but like that's really all I need to know.
Right.
I want to know like more of the story about like why, or tell me like, I don't know. Maybe you've probably seen it, and I don't do it all that, the time.
Yeah.
Sprouted Kitchen stuff, just because like it feels like there's not always a story. There's not always something to say. Sometimes there is, and I really am happy to share those things, but as my life has become like a little bit busier, I don't have a lot of time to just be like drafting
sure
like memories and stories.
Right,
so
right.
It feels like time lately has taken me away from, I feel like I used to write a lot more openly and stuff on the blog, but as of late, I haven't really been able to.
Well, it's probably, you know, different times in your life too, where it's really calling you to do that. Like you said, maybe now is just not the time because you have a lot of other things that demand your focus, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and also like culturally speaking, it feels like people are a lot more like divided about stuff.
Right.
Than
right.
before. So I feel like I am also looking at it through a lens. Like I don't really love conflict. So I don't want to talk about something on my blog where people are going to be like, well, I don't agree with that. And blah, blah, blah. Like you think.
Totally.
People love to fight online. And so I feel like I'm careful not to dive too deep onto a subject that like would perhaps have like caused some
negativity.
I don't like that.
Totally.
And I take it personally.
Yep.
Because I don't ever want to offend anyone. So I'm just like, you know what? Maybe we will just write four paragraphs about tomato sauce because I get a little bit timid about like offending anyone.
No, I understand that. And I think, but one thing is like, I think early on, you know, when I was reading your food blog and, you know, just noting that you were very open sort of about your, I don't know, personal struggles or, you know, the things that aren't just totally super pretty. But what I loved about that is that, like, you have a very, you know, like, your life does look beautiful, but it also looks real, you know? And I noticed this post on your Instagram. So, and you wrote in this, that, you know, you're talking about the reality of life, and you say, but these squares are teeny pieces of big stories. They are complicated and imperfect people behind them always. And I just really appreciate that as being a fan of your work for a long time now, you've always been this way where you've never tried to pretend like your life is perfect. But I, again, really appreciate that you're showing everybody that, you can have a beautiful life and have it be imperfect, you know? So it's not
totally.
Like one
I absolutely
or the other.
I believe that it's true. Yeah. I believe that it's true. And it like, it really bums me out about, I understand like that social media is bad in its own way, but it like, it bums me that so much of the conversation is like comparison.
Yes.
And I feel less than because like my house doesn't look like this or my body doesn't look like that, or my dinners don't look like that and blah, blah, blah. And it would break my heart to be part of the conversation that made somebody feel that way.
Totally.
I think I have a pretty healthy relationship with it that like, I don't get off of Instagram and then feel bad about myself. I realize that like, I know what accounts are curated and I know the people who are, like have four children and she has perfect hair and blah, blah, blah. Like I know that this is like a job for people. I make money in that space too.
Yeah.
So I think when I can like be on Instagram and understand that like, this is like the marketing business is like thriving in this space. And so if you can look at accounts and be like, hey, like this isn't always just like people's real life. This is a bit of a show.
Yeah.
If you can just take it for what it is, then I feel like it doesn't become like this trap of like sadness and comparison and blah, blah, blah. When like you could look at it and be like, okay, this is just the highlight reel and stuff like that. Like people I invite people over for dinner all the time and we don't often get invited to other people's houses. And some friends will joke, they're like, well, I'm not going to feed you dinner. Like I see what you eat and like you, I'm not going to feed you. I'm like, yes, but that's like, that's my, where I put my best work.
That's
and like,
right.
That's where I pull food apart to make it look like beautiful. I try to make that food look good. And yes, it is food that we eat. It is not just overly style just for show. Like we really do eat that. But like I eat, you know, sometimes cold leftover frittata just like out of a paper towel, and I'm not going to take a picture of that, but like that is
that's part of life too.
Still my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. But I don't necessarily feel like I need to put that on Instagram.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. And I think people need to remember that. Like, yeah, it's like, you don't, just because we aren't all like on the daily talking about like the, you know, bad parts of our day or the, you know, the spilled milk or whatever, it doesn't mean that it's not happening, you know?
Right. So, yeah.
One thing I ask all my guests on this podcast is, you know, when you are having a bad day or a bad month or a bad year, you know, just going through something, what's in your own personal toolkit to help you move through it?
It's interesting that you say this. I have a therapist friend named Elise Snipes, and she has a great podcast called Trailer Cast. Mm-hmm. She's put out these workshops recently, and I was just listening to one yesterday. It was called Feel Better, Live Better, and she was kind of talking about naming feelings and being more specific about them, not necessarily just like, okay, I'm sad because of this, and kind of like wallow necessarily in that, but being a little bit more specific about what that feeling is, about like what necessarily is making you sad, like whether it's you're lonely or you're anxious or whatever, and then like making more action steps to move from that, whether they're like really simple, like physical things like going for a walk or washing your hands, she even said, like just kind of changing your attitude, and then kind of anyway, pivoting more towards an action step to get out of that feeling rather than in a kind of like sit in it and then wallow in like why, like that can just sort of suck us down instead of move it out and move us out of it. So I feel like both my husband and I are both self-employed. So sometimes just like the fact that we feel like we kind of need to be working all the time will sometimes kind of get the best of me, because I feel like how much money I make or how hard I work is up to me. I don't like show up and get a paycheck, whether I do a satisfactory job or not. Like we have to constantly stay motivated, and both of us are in a creative field, which feels like a lot. I don't really feel like, not that I don't get any breaks. I don't want to say that, because that's wallowing and not true, but it just definitely does feel like I do kind of need to be on, and always sort of thinking ahead and planning ahead and working ahead and stuff like that. So trying to give myself the action steps of like, when I feel like burnout or overworked, like I'll go sometimes from like two personal chef jobs where I'll go to make 3 to 4 meals there, and then I'll come home and feel like, okay, well now I need to work on Sparta Kitchen things. But like, okay, I've already made 8 meals today.
Right.
Like for other people, like at what point do I just need to say like, that is pretty good for today. Like, let's just go play with the kids at the park and you can make something else tomorrow. I don't even know if I'm answering.
No, totally, totally. Anymore. Very much so. Yeah.
But I feel like that is like bad days lately have often felt like we've been in a little bit of a career shift these past 6 months. And so to get out of the like, oh my gosh, all I do is like think about food, make food, talk about food, email people about food, answer questions about food. And I need like out of that sometimes. So
totally. Yeah.
Trying to get myself into something else instead of being just like, it does. It makes me to a certain point just feel so depleted that
makes sense.
I hate it. I'm like, what am I doing? So anyway, work, I feel like tough days lately are related to that. So I was kind of inspired by that workshop from Elise yesterday and thinking like, okay, I know that feeling. I can identify it. I have it often. Usually on Mondays or whatever, like,
right.
What can I do to fix the problem instead of like habitually, like get back to that place where I feel burnout? Like, how can I have an action step to not feel that way?
I love that too, because I think like it's so easy when you're in sort of a negative like loop, you know, just to stay there. You know, because energy breeds energy, you know? So it's like, okay, like,
yeah.
I love that idea of just like, let's take an action to move closer to the other direction, you know,
right.
To kind of help you get back towards the more productive, positive energy. So that's cool. Yeah. That's awesome. And I also, you noted, you know, that you're, self-employed. And one thing I remember from, you know, following you on the blog and through social media is that you, you used to talk a lot about working at Trader Joe's part-time. Mm-hmm. And I love, I love that you do that, because I think, again, it's like trying to dispel a little bit this notion of, like, you know, being a self-employed creative is just so glamorous. Like, I feel like it's just, that's not the reality, you know? And it's like, I mean, yeah, it's like a beautiful career path, but it's also like a hard one in a lot of ways. And I love that you were open about the fact that you were also doing something on the side to be able to help support you. Can you talk maybe a little bit about that, like how long you were doing that for, and when you felt like it was the right time to step away and just do what you're doing now full time?
Yeah, I've never just been doing one thing as long as it's been related to Sprouted Kitchen. Like, we started the blog and I had like a real job. And then when that kind of pivoted more towards writing a book and that was going to take me more time, I like quit the quote unquote real job, started working on the book, but was also a waitress, and then just moved from like then waitressing. And then I went and worked at Trader Joe's largely because of health benefits.
Awesome.
So I had that. And then also all the Sprouted Kitchen things. And then I feel like even once I had my son, then I was just like, okay. And Trader Joe's changed their policies where like you had to work full time to be getting the healthcare. So I was like, okay, well, I can't work full time at Trader Joe's and keep up with all things Sprouted Kitchen and parent. So it felt like that was the thing that needed to go. Cause I just couldn't do all three of those things. So that was the one that needed to go, just because I was like, well, at least I like doing Sprouted Kitchen things, and maybe there aren't like, there isn't consistency in health benefits, but I feel like there's more earning potential here. It allows me to be like home with my son.
Yeah.
All the math that I'm sure people have to figure out in having a family all the time. Like, we did all those numbers. But still, even like while I would consider Sprouted Kitchen my main deal, like I said, I still have two personal chef jobs. I teach classes. I do random things all the time because I think to be self-employed, having multiple income streams, not just one, is safer, and it helps with the lack of consistency. So,
and it probably keeps you learning too, right? Like just being able to be. It's really cool.
I actually loved, anyway, I don't need to harp on the healthcare thing, even though that's
no, hey, go for it. It's important.
It was so nice to see people. I loved the people that I worked with. I loved checkout. I worked I worked there probably for a total of about 3 years.
Awesome.
I was a sample lady like the last year and a half of it. And that was
I would love that.
It was okay. It really, like, I'm a kind of a stickler for manners, and it was very disenchanting about how entitled people were about their sample, and they like didn't say thank you. They wouldn't make eye contact. It just was kind of like, really? Like, I wanted to assume that most people had manners. And I feel in that experience, I realized that most people do not.
It's so disappointing. I know.
Yeah, they're just kind of rude. And then, but I loved the checkout. I had just like a totally different experience in checking people out. Like, people wanted to talk about the things they were buying, or I knew all the like trigger questions of like, I don't know, what are you doing for holidays and blah, blah, blah. It was just neat to talk to different people versus being self-employed. I have lots of conversations via email and social media and, you know, the friends I've made. And we have a lot of friends that live close, but it's just different than having work people, like having that dialogue all day long.
For sure. For
it's
sure.
Nice.
And like in person.
I thought it was,
sort of,
it was a good balance.
Oh, that's cool.
If it wasn't for the kids, I'd probably still be doing it because I thought it was fun. I think it's a fun job. I'm sure people go in there and they're like, everybody's so happy and are having such a good time. And
it's true. It kind of has, does have a vibe whenever you're in Trader Joe's. I think that's why I like going in there.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is too, but in Trader Joe's, like I've always, and I do it more in Trader Joe's than any other supermarket, but like people just seem like their energy is always like better there than most supermarkets. Like, not just the people that work there, but the shoppers. And Like, totally. There's been a number of times where, like, somebody has let me go in front of them, you know, if, like, yeah. I only had a couple things and they had more. And then, like, every time someone does that, I always buy them a chocolate. Like, I'll put a chocolate bar. And then, like, it's just, like, I love the effect that it has because, like, it makes the person behind me in line, like, so happy. And then it makes the cashier really happy. And, like, it just, like, brings a whole, like, good energy around, you know, so... So yeah, we love Trader Joe's. Yeah, good vibes in that place.
They do.
So switching gears a little bit, and you mentioned, you know, having a lot of people, like, you know, I guess peers of yours that you really like have become friends with and all that. And could you tell me maybe one or two people whose creativity, either in the food world or in any artistic space, really moves you?
First person that comes to mind is, I'm going to butcher her name, Erin Goyalaga.
Erin,
if I said your name wrong.
Yes.
She's wonderful. She's a wonderful person. We've taught a few workshops at her great studio up in Seattle. She's just an extremely generous person, and she has such a natural, so she is a like cook, stylist, and photographer. So she does all the things that like Hugh and I generally do together, and like Hugh and I kind of have to like argue or discuss or whatever, like, no, I think there should be more parsley here, blah, blah, blah. And like, we have to kind of collaborate on like how stuff maybe like would look its best. And I see Erin do it, and it's just like so fast and natural to her to like make just these beautiful dishes that like you feel they're aspirational in the fact that like, I want to eat that. I also want to be at that table, but they're like, they have a quiet and calm mood to them, and they're just beautiful. And know, like, I know her, and to know that she is also just a neat person.
Yeah.
I would say that her creativity is inspiring to me because it feels like such an extension of herself.
That's so cool.
But it also feels aspirational, but not in the kind of aspirational, not like in a bad way.
Yeah.
Like the Goop newsletter where you can't actually buy a $600 bathing suit top. Right. It feels like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I want my dinner to look like that.
Totally.
In a good way.
Totally.
So I think of her. I am going to say Hugh as far as a creative person. It is hard but good to be married to somebody that you work closely with in a creative capacity because I feel like I am so many things with him. Like I am his spouse. I am a parent with him. We have to manage a home together. Mm-hmm. But then we also do this work that is creative. So he works with me on the photography end of things and is also has been teaching himself how to code. So he has been doing all the developing for Cooking Club, but then he also takes pictures of people and in the past year or so has gotten really into ocean photography.
Wow.
So to see it's somebody that I know really intimately, but to see his photos of water and the ocean and like he does underwater stuff, like has the housing for his camera and then also a drone. And so like, just to see his perspective, just to know somebody well, but then to see like their creativity is just really interesting to me because it is a different side of him that like, he doesn't necessarily put words to, or that doesn't translate into food photography or how you parent. It's just a different side of him. So I think it is really intriguing and interesting to me because it feels like a piece of him that isn't put into words.
Sure. And it's evolving, right? And it's like new for you, even though it's a person that you know, like so well. That's super cool.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Or to have him say like, oh, I don't like that picture. I'm like, what? I love that. Like, why do you not like that?
Right.
Like that is interesting to me and to be able to have access to that conversation with him. Cause I don't actually consider myself creative. Like I understand that like
really?
I cook. And so people will tell me like, oh yes, you are. That's not the voice I'm giving you or anybody that I love really, but that's just for the sake of the conversation.
Yeah.
That's the other person's voice. I don't really consider myself creative. Like I make food, but I kind of understand food. I like feeding people. It's not because like there isn't a whole lot of motivation from an artistic perspective to me. Like I don't really care. It is interesting to me to know.
Yeah.
Or to see Hugh, who I like, actually believe like functions like an artist. Maybe that's the difference.
Sure,
I don't really feel like I function like an artist. I'm pretty practical, and I don't like live in any sort of like fantasy world or even like movies. If it's some sort of like fake kind of stuff, like fantasy things or something, or aliens, like that is not real.
Yeah.
Then I'm like annoyed with it. Cause I'm like, no, like this doesn't happen in real life.
Sure. I feel you on that.
Hugh who functions like a creative, like loves that kind of fake stuff. I know I'm not using very good words.
No, I got you.
Like, he loves that kind of stuff, like things that are not of this world. And I feel like that is like a waste of time.
So in my mind,
I function more as like a business person.
Sure.
So I think someone calling me creative, it's like, no, I actually like, I'm pretty practical.
Yeah.
When you break it down.
But good. You can balance each other out. And it sounds like you're like the perfect sort of marriage, not just, you know, romantic marriage, but also just like a business marriage too. It sounds like you kind of, that's great. That's so great. Yeah.
It depends on the day. It depends on the day. I'm not going to agree with that either. But
well, I guess like, yeah, if you guys are having a bad day, like that makes it really hard because you're like, oh, we're so enmeshed in everything.
Yeah. so I can't get away from you.
You can't get any space, you know? So I guess that is the hard part.
Well, it's made us better communicators though.
Yeah, absolutely. I bet. Last like kind of question before we get into like your favorite things, I wanted to ask you is who or what has been one of your greatest teachers?
Oh man. I feel like that has changed over time. I think a lot of like learning to cook. I watched a lot of Food Network, and a lot of Ina Garten and Giada.
Trying to
think of who else I watched there. Like I would say I learned a lot at the beginning about food, just like basics, watching Food Network shows, which sounds corny and cliche to say now. In the past year and a half, like I've been following more closely, again, butchering names, Samin Nosrat. I don't know how you
pronounce that's her right. I actually interviewed her recently. Yeah, she's great.
Oh, yeah. I read that.
Yeah.
She just seems like such a joyful person and so down to earth.
Totally.
And I learned so much from her book. It is a way that, like, I've always been encouraging that of people that like, once you kind of get down the basics of like food science and cooking, then like it isn't as intimidating because you just need to understand like what salt does and what temperature does. And like, once you get these basics down, then you can cook so many things just because you understand these like small, like science things. And how she's been promoting that with her book and her show and stuff like that. I think it just,
It's taking
away some of the, like, oh, I'm not a good cook, I can't do that. So it's like, no, she like breaks it down into really simple terms.
Yes.
And if you can understand that, like, if you salt your pasta water, even if you just start mixing it with like butter and I don't know, all just these really basic things that I feel like I have learned both cooking skills and then also just to see somebody so incredibly comfortable in their own skin. Like I do feel like she's like been in the spotlight lately.
Totally.
But it doesn't seem like it's changed her. And it's inspiring to just see a female like not feel like she has to be somebody else or conform into like I want to be powerful but not too powerful. And I need to be pretty but not too pretty.
Right.
Like she just seems like this is me. Like I've got something to say. You could take it or leave it. And like that is I am somebody who struggles with self-confidence. And so to see that she is so successful, just how she is.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that is a goal I have for myself is to have that sort of attitude. So to see it in her is inspiring
as a teacher
because she's setting this tone of like how you can be a successful woman in food.
Yep.
Just however you want it to look like.
Oh yeah. Just, we need more of that for sure. And yeah, she actually told me, I remember that she was like, yeah, you know, my friends watch the Netflix series and say like, it's just you. And she's like, yeah, of course it's just me, you know? So yeah. And just like you're saying, you know, it's like, she just brings herself to it. And man, I just think that's so palpable too, isn't it? You know, you can feel when somebody's not being authentically themselves, you know?
Right.
And that's so the opposite of inspiring to me, you know? So
yeah,
that's cool. Great. Okay. So now I like to close off the podcast by asking you some of your favorite things. Like I'll say the thing and then you can tell me what your favorite is or what a favorite is.
I'm not very good at quick decisions.
Don't worry. If like you can't think of something, we can move on.
Okay.
But since you are in the food world, why don't we start off with a favorite meal that comes to mind?
I love big, huge entree salads. I know that sounds like, oh, I'm trying to be like wellness lady saying that like I love salad, but like, I legitimately think a good salad is, it makes me feel good. Like it's the best kind of full. I don't like, sure, I love pasta, but like, I don't love how I feel after eating a big bowl of pasta. Like I feel great after I eat a big salad that has like lots of good bits in it, like avocado, like feta cheese, but only a really good feta cheese, some nuts, maybe a blueberry, salmon or some, I don't know, like yum. All my favorite things just like in a salad with a yummy dressing. That would be what I would like to eat most days. Ironically, like salad can be laborious because you know, all the different parts, you either have to have a lot of ingredients or like, okay, if I'm going to cook salmon to have on top and have roasted sweet potatoes and I need to have a perfectly ripe avocado, like it's actually trickier to make it. It's trickier to make a really good salad than,
that's true.
Thanks.
It's not exactly. Yeah. It's not so simple, but it's so worth it. I agree with you. I would say like chocolate and salads are my favorite. So, tacos. Tacos.
Yes, agreed. Ooh, I do love tacos. I do love. I mean, the meal. I was only thinking you were talking savory. Like there would definitely be a dessert.
Yeah, I guess chocolate isn't a meal, but you know what I mean. Whatever. Yeah.
It's part of. I get it. Yeah.
Sometimes it is a meal for me. If I'm having a really bad day, it turns into like, I literally have eaten a whole bag of those. Do you know the Trader Joe's, like three ingredient chocolates? That's like honey and, chocolate liquor and what was the, I'm spacing out on, oh, and peppermint. And, anyways.
Oh, those like, they're kind of like Yorks, but
yes,
not.
Yes. I've literally eaten a whole bag on one night before. So it's,
yes.
You know, whatever.
I'm sensing a theme with you. Like you've talked about chocolate a lot.
Totally.
You're like, I buy chocolate for people behind me.
That's right.
Having a bad day, I go to chocolate.
It's a theme. Yep. Yep.
I understand.
Oh man. Okay. How about a favorite album or song?
I'm going to say recently I've been, into Sleeping at Last. I think that it's, is that the name of it? Is the album or the band?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to Google it right now. Sleeping.
He does like some covers of some popular songs. And then he also like, he wrote a bunch of songs about like each of the Enneagram numbers. And then they're really calm. So I feel like we put it on, I have very energetic children and there's something about his music that is like, it kind of brings my kids down. Maybe it's because like we play it when we're putting them down to sleep, so they associate it with like, oh, this is wind down music. So I feel like we put it on a lot because we're like always trying to zombie our children, like please calm down. So we're playing
that's awesome, the
music. But anyway, like I like that. I have to be honest with you, like I'm not like a huge music person. My own mind is super noisy. I'm thinking about like a dozen things at one time, and so sometimes music actually makes me feel more stressed out than it does calm. So I'm pretty circumstantial with if I want that extra noise or not, because so much exists in my head at a time that I often like just driving in silence.
That makes sense though. Yeah. And I mean, like maybe, yeah, it's like the right kind of music at the right time, right?
Yeah. If I have people over, then like I love having music on that feels like the perfect time, or for just like hanging, I don't know. But if I'm trying to think and if I'm trying to do a few things at once, then the music just can't, it's just
can't compete. Yeah, I got you. How about a favorite book?
I think I've probably talked about it a lot on the blog. I love Tiny Beautiful Things from Cheryl Strayed.
One of my favorites.
2 years ago. I'm going to have to say that has been one of my favorites. I just finished reading The Nightingale. I can't think of the author. It was like a bestseller last year, which I thought was just beautiful.
Yeah, totally. I was just going to ask you if you ever listened to Dear Sugars. The podcast?
No.
You would love it. Good? Oh my gosh. It's like Tiny Beautiful Things in a podcast. And they ended it, I think, like a little less than a year ago now, but you should still go and listen to all the episodes. It's Cheryl Strayed.
It was as good as the book. I think I tried one and I was like, this is not as good as the book. I don't want to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe you have to find the right ones, but I loved it because it's her, you know, and it's her brilliant advice, and she's just incredible.
Okay, I'll definitely look it up.
Awesome. How about a favorite place?
Place?
Yeah.
Paris, France.
Oh.
I think I've maybe been three times. I mean, it depends on I don't know, like, let's just think big. Like, that would be like, I could go back multiple times and it wouldn't get old.
Totally.
Whereas there's a million places to eat. There's just like an awesome energy. It's romantic. I just think it's magical. It like deserves,
yes,
all of its cliche, yep, magicalness. I, yep, think it is that. But then there's a lot of places close to home that I feel like we have this beach that we has a big, huge hill, but has this gorgeous view that we have picnics on all the time. The kids can run, called Salt Creek, and it's just 10 minutes from our house. And I love it there. I feel peaceful.
Mm, that sounds that like place. Heaven. Yeah. Nice that it's like so close to home. That's awesome.
Yeah. I think you have to like, places could be, favorite places can be places like Paris, France, but like my life doesn't really afford visits to places like that very often. So I also, if I need to find the place of peace.
And it's nice too, when you can have a place like, let's say Paris, and it holds a certain, like you can just hold on to the memory of it too. Like you don't necessarily have to go on a plane, mm-hmm, to go there, you know? And, cool when you meet a place that you feel that way about, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, speaking of memories, lastly, what is a favorite memory?
I remember after writing our first cookbook, like getting to travel and go to bookstores and whatnot and meet people, who read the blog or cooked my food and stuff like that, that like, I kind of, didn't really expect to fall into this career, but to be, affirmed or thanked and stuff like that for this job that I like wasn't expecting to do, but like the fact that I was like helping people, or like you've said, like you liked my writing, or the things I choose to share and stuff like that, I think is really humbling and amazing. That, wow, this is like not what I thought I was going to be doing, but what a beautiful thing that like, I'm such a relationship person,
yeah,
that I am somehow, gosh, touching lives. It sounds like, I think I'm very self-important.
But no, you are. You should own that.
These connections.
Yeah.
I think what I'm trying to say is like, it's the memory of this feeling that like I've played a part in someone else's life in a way that like I didn't expect or intend to. And I don't like write recipes and share recipes because I'm looking for any sort of like stardom or,
yeah,
I don't consider myself a chef. But the fact that the work that I do somehow makes its way into other people's life. And I got to hear so much of that when I was traveling around promoting the book. I think that feeling useful to other people or something, I can't even say I can put a finger on the feeling, but I can just say that season of my life felt really wonderful.
Oh, that's a great answer. Thank you. That's so special. And I'm glad you're doing what you're doing for all of us. So thank you.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Musings with Monse, Artists and Their Honest Stories, is audio produced by the amazing Erin Mooring. And the beautiful theme music you hear is by Heather Maloney.